I'm going to attempt to keep teaching on Job a little bit. I'm trying to bring it down. And I realized that once I got into this, I could keep going. We can just keep talking about Job forever. Such an amazing book. But I'm trying to bring it down to a few of the main subjects. And, you know, just to pass in review on it. Job is a book that, they have a saying that everyone has opinions, right? And you learn from the book of Job that the way the preacher or yourself views God and views yourself will be the way you interpret Job. And so I'm saying that because you don't have to trust, in essence, what everyone says about Job or what people have said about Job in the past or even what you've learned about Job in the past. You can trust by the Holy Spirit and by your nature how to see who God is. Amen? And so Job was a man. His name means seeking his father. And that tells us a little bit about this book. See, Job wasn't born again because it was before Christ. But he was a man who loved God and wanted more of God. And the interpretation I'm giving of Job has to do with that. When your heart begins to seek more of God, when your heart begins to hunger for more of God, how many know that you have to be prepared to fight the enemy? And that God doesn't pick the fight with the enemy. In essence, he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to torture you and put you in a, I'm going to torture you for this year, or I'm going to make you suffer this year. God doesn't pick that fight. Your heart does. You know, you think about Paul traveling and preaching and being persecuted and stoned. And, you know, he said, I have a messenger from Satan that's been assigned to me. You know, I'm just going to go to this city and there's already a riot waiting for me. I haven't been there yet. They're already ready to kill me. And, the adventures of following God. Somewhere religion has set on our shoulders for generation after generation, and painted a picture of Christianity that has to do with sitting in chairs and going to church on Sunday, and have robbed us from relationship. In fact, the purpose of religion is to take the Father out of God. And as we discover more and more about who He is and who He made us, we're going to find that we have someone who loves us and believes in us. So if I were to ask any Christian, say, would you like to have a life of faith and prosperity and happiness and joy? Yes, I would. All right. Don't pray in tongues. And I'm teasing a little bit, but, you know, why does the enemy pick on us? You know, that's a thought. Like, you know, I'm just being nice. I'm telling people about Jesus. I'm telling people about the love of God, about healing. I'm trying not to hurt people. I'm trying to be as good as I can be, and the devil just seems to stir up trouble. How many have experienced that? You know, why is he picking on me? You know, I'm being nice. Well, because there's something in you that's going to take you to a place that he can't stop. He's not picking on you because of you. He's not picking on you because you're a special person, if I can say it that way. He's afraid of where you'll end up if you get through this. He's afraid of all the people that will be touched and changed and lives healed and born again because you didn't stop. So the fight is to stop you. Now, I had a man that used to run a construction company in our city up in Canada. He owned a big construction company, the biggest in town. And he would, in Canada, of course, you know, it snows a lot. So all the stores and all the city pays to have people plow the snow off the parking lot and off the road. And he would take all the contracts every winter. And he would lose money because he would take all the contracts and he wouldn't make money off. He'd lose money every winter. And I remember my dad was talking to him one day and I was there and he said, well, Al, that was his name. Al, why do you do that? Why do you lose money every winter to clear all the snow from the city and from these stores. Why don't you just let some other guy do it? He said, well, that's how I started my business. He said, I started my business. I bought one truck and put a plow on it. And I worked one winter and I made enough to buy another truck. And then from there, I kept doing, I made enough to make another truck. And soon I had a company. So he said, I'm doing this to stop all the young guys from making money enough to build their own company. See, that's a smart businessman. He's, well, you know, all right. Maybe a mean businessman, but he's... But see, you don't attack someone when they're strong. You attack them when they're young, when they're weak. And you make them feel like they can't make it. You make them feel like there's no hope. Go a different direction. So then he comes against you and you look at yourself and you think, well, what's wrong with me? You know, I'm not. Who am I? Who am I? Maybe I'm not a big preacher, or I don't have a... maybe you're not even called to preach. Maybe what? Who am I? Why is he after me? It's because he sees in you the thing that God sees in you. And God promotes people for different reasons than man promotes people. And if you look at yourself in the eyes of man, you can probably come up with a list of reasons why God wouldn't choose you. But there's only one reason God's chooses someone, okay? And it has to do with the heart. And if your heart ever hungered for more of God and said, cried out to God, you know, sometimes your heart cries out without you knowing it, then God answers that prayer. And that's what I believe happened to Job. Job was a good man, faithful man. And he hungered for more God. In Job, he says, just two things, God. Please don't take your hand from me. Don't remove yourself from me. Job, I believe, cried out. His heart cried out for more God. And God knowing, see, there's a path to your future, a path to your calling. And it's this is the pathway to you changing lives, to you fulfilling your calling. How many know we're all part of the body? No calling is more important than the next. Every one of us have a place in the body, and every calling is just as important. It's been religion that's tried to make us put preachers up higher than they're supposed to be. It's been religion that made the businessman more special than the average person. So you have a calling of God that he placed on you. And now as you hunger for God, you're saying, God, please take me down that path. Now maybe your heart doesn't hunger, but you prayed in tongues, and that's got you to a place to where you're hungering. And you're walking down this road. But God knows that on the road of your calling, to you fulfill your high calling, there is roadblocks that the devil's going to place there. There is pitfalls and attacks along your road. There's no way around that road. You cannot pray, God, please, let me have a life with no battles. Because what that means is you stop. The only way to have no battles is you stop hungering for more of God. And you find that place where you live a life where you get to do what you want, but you still serve God. It's like a negotiation. See, but with God, there's no negotiation. He'll love you. He'll love you all the way to heaven, and he'll bless you every step of the way. You know, that's why we got to be careful not to pick on other churches, because there's a place. There needs to be a place for everybody, you know. And God didn't call a pastor to be a pastor of a boring church. But that's all they gave God. So he said, you'll work with this group. And so on this path, as you start hungering for more of God, he knows the devil's going to come attack you. But there's a hedge around you that stops that. But when you hunger for more of God, the only way for you to get more of him is to follow him. He didn't put the devil there. He didn't put the roadblocks there, but he knows they're coming. But it's not his fight. See, every attack of the enemy against you has to do with your emotions, with your soul, with your flesh. That's why someone's addicted to drugs. You know, I have a close person in my life who sold their house and almost lost their family because of a white powder. You know, you look at them and say, what's wrong with you? You know, but there's something in them that gives. There's something that gives them. It gives them an escape. And so we don't judge them, because we have our own things that we fight with. And that's what the devil uses against you. You know, there's not a spirit of lust that walks around, you know, a green-faced, funky hair-looking skinny devil in a red dress, you know. Hey, boys, you know. There's not a spirit of lust that walks around and just grabs people. You know, what it is a spirit comes and it looks at you and finds your weakness, and it gives you what your flesh wants. And it doesn't have to be just a bad thing. Sometimes your flesh wants the good things. And it buys you out. And so on your path is some attacks. Well, God knows that. The devil's going to put some attacks in your path. And he prepares you for a fight. It's not his fight. He's already defeated the devil. If you got a fear of God providing for you, that's what the devil's going to use against you. If you got a fear of God using you, the devil will give you something to do for God that's nice and sweet. Go feed the poor. That's good. Go feed the poor. You bless God. Hallelujah. But your heart isn't to do that. Your heart wants him. And he wants to feed the poor through you, not you feed the poor for him. See, if your heart's to be a worship leader, he doesn't want you worshiping him. He wants you to worship from who he made you, not as an offering to him. But that costs you. That costs you a place where you let go of yourself. And see, he prepares you for that fight. And as you go through that fight, you're wondering, what's happening? What's going on? So I want to start here in Job chapter, 27. He's got his three friends. Who are trying to give him reasons why God is coming against him. And to understand with God that he's not coming against Job. He's answering Job's prayer. Because the only prayer you can't make in the Bible is, or one of the main prayers you can't make in the Bible is, God, please don't let there be a fight. Take away the battle. See, you're responsible for your flesh. You have to mortify it. You have to make it submit to who God says you are. You know, when we identify ourselves, you know, we're not to identify, I'm with this guy, or I'm with God, or I'm with my flesh. It's you locate yourself. I am a child of God. That's who I am. And so we're going to start in chapter 27. We're going to start in verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his discourse and said, as God lives, who has taken away my justice, and the Almighty who has made my soul bitter. Verse 2. As long as my breath is in me, and the breath of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say you are right till I die. I'll not put away my integrity from me. Now here I want us to see that. Job says, God's taken my justice. In verse 6, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. There is a fight that came to Job. And I'm trying to tie it in a little bit, preacher style, with some of the things that many of us have gone through. The battle of our emotions. That terrorist attack against our emotions that comes. And comes to destroy, you know. I don't know if you've been through it. I'm not saying everyone has to go through it, but when that emotional attack comes and you throw everything at the devil, you know, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I stand on the word, and you do everything you can to stand, and nothing seems to work. It's like you got a little squirt gun fighting against a raging fire. And everything you thought worked doesn't seem to work, and is this not going to work? And that's okay for a day, but how about 2 days or 4 days or a month? Who knows? Some people say Job went through for 6 months this battle. See, Job had something to stand on. I had a lady that, a friend of mine, she called because her pastor's wife passed away with cancer. And she told me, she said, I don't get it. She confessed the word. She spoke the word. She did everything right. She was a good woman. She was a pastor's wife. She had 3 kids. And she just went on and on about, you know, and she said, I know people who don't even know God, who still are struggling with all kinds of fleshly sins that run up in church and get healed just like that. But this woman, she's faithful. She was a good wife, a good pastor. She did all these things, and yet God didn't heal her. Did she not say the words right? What was wrong? Well, you know, I didn't tell her right then, but later on, when, you know, after grieving, I said, look, you know, when you're a good person and you do good things and you live right and you're faithful to God and you do all these things, When you stand for a miracle or something from God, you can stand on your own righteousness as a way for reasoning for God to use you, a reasoning for God to heal you, a reasoning for God to bless you. I say, but when you're not that good person, you come to God, you know the only way you're healed is because of the blood of Jesus. The only reason you're healed is because of what Jesus did for you. And that's why good works can be as damning as bad works when it comes to believing God for things. And see, Job had to get past looking at who he was for the reason for his blessings. Now, he could have lived his whole life back under the blessings of God. And how we know that God wants us prosperous? How we know God that wants us blessed in our life and our family blessed? Amen? But you may have to pass through the part of your flesh that says it deserves a voice. It deserves a receipt. You know, here's what I did, God. Here's what I did. Here's what I'm doing for you. Look at this here. This is why I need to be healed. This is why I need to be blessed. This is why. See, I did this for you. I did this. I gave this. But the whole point of being born again, the whole point of the walk of the Spirit is that we don't deserve anything. We believe that because who He made us. See, I was born, when I was born again, that's when I came into existence. That's the day I was born. I received His name. See, I was born of Him. What gives me the right to believe is nothing that I have ever done, but believing in who He has made me and who He is. Amen? So I want us to remember, too, with Job. Job is not born again. Jesus hadn't come and defeated the devil yet. So Job is a great look of how the devil operates. The devil hasn't changed. Amen? He still will attack you the same way he attacked Job, and if you put up with it, you'll get it. Whatever you put up with in your life, God will put up with. And so, because we're born again, we have authority over certain things. We can't stop him from attacking, but we don't have to accept things. Amen? God hasn't changed. He's still the same. He's still the same God He's always been. He's never changed. What's changed is Jesus came, defeated the devil, and now we are born of God. We're heirs of the kingdom of God. We have a right. We have rights to stand. See, the bloodline didn't stop with Jesus. The bloodline went from Adam to Jesus, and a new bloodline started from there, and you're part of that bloodline. You're part of the family of God. You're seated next to God. Jesus is sitting next to God. You're there with Him in Christ Jesus. You have all the rights to be an heir of the kingdom, to stand against whatever the devil's attacking you, but I'm telling you, he's still going to try to attack you. So let's skip over to chapter 31. Because you're born again, because Jesus has already defeated the devil, it says that He made a show of them openly. He made a show of them openly, of the devil openly. That means back in the old days, the Romans would come and they'd conquer a country, and they'd take the king of that country, the man who used to rule over the people, and they would strip him completely naked, and they'd put a rope around his neck, and they'd march him through the cities of the very people he ruled over. They would march him through the cities and let the people that he used to rule over throw things at him and laugh at him and expose him as being just a man. And that's what Jesus did to the devil when he defeated him. He has stripped him of all his power to destroy you, stripped him of all his authority over the not just the kingdom of God, over the world. And he's given us the authority now to stand against him. So I'm saying that because you have to remind yourself who you are. When you're going through a battle, the point of the battle, the only point of the battle is to make it so miserable for you that you decide to stop fighting. That's the point, that you stop walking. So Job in chapter 31, verse 1. This is Job, I want to say, reasoning his defense. Not his defense, but his life, because he's been attacked by his friends who God exposes as being false in their opinions, and they're giving him all the reasons why he failed and why God is not blessing him. You know, why God is not prospering him. Why God is letting him stay in this stuff. Chapter 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. So he's making an argument here. He's saying, number one, he won't condemn God. But here he's saying also, I won't condemn myself. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I've lurked. See, he's saying, I could understand if I looked after, chased after young women. I can understand God judging me this way if my heart had been enticed by a woman, verse 9, or if I'd lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let another bow down over her, and that would be wickedness. Yes, I would be in iniquity, deserving of judgment. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. Verse 13, if I had despised the cause of my male and female servant when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up, when he punishes? How shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? So if I thought I was special, or if I was beat down on my servants, I can understand this happening. If I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself so that the fatherless could not eat of it. But from my youth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. Then 19, if I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, when I saw I had help in the gate, and let my arm fall from my shoulder, let my arm be torn from my socket. For destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence I cannot endure. If I made gold my hope, and said, oh, to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much. See, he's saying, I could understand that, but that's not who I am. If I have observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth had kissed my hand, this also would be iniquity, deserving of judgment. For I would have denied God who is above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, indeed I have not allowed my mouth to sin, but asking for a curse on his soul. If man of my tent had not said, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. If I have covered my transgressions as Adam, by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept silent and did not go out of the door. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder and bind it to me like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. If my land cries out against me, and its furrows weep together, if I have eaten its fruit without money, or cause its owners to lose their lives, then let thistles grow instead of wheat, and weeds instead of barley. So these three men, these are the three that came against Job, his friends, ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, Now, we'll go into Elihu in a little bit. I like Elihu. He's a character. God doesn't even mention him in the end. He mentions his three friends, but just ignores Elihu. See, what we're seeing here is how good of a man Job was. How much he tried to please God and do good for God. And the enemy still came and attacked him. See, when you're under that attack, the point of the attack, it's like an old Western showdown. The devil gets onto your emotions, your natural man's emotions. He gets in the saddle and puts his feet in the stirrups. See, your emotions, your natural man, and its desires will try to buy you off your flesh. He'll try to give you a relationship with God without facing your cross every day. And he'll try to offer you all kinds of things. He'll flush you with joy from this world. He'll flush you with natural love. He'll flush you with all the kindness and just the peace that comes from this world. He'll flush you with that, make you feel so great. And that's his purpose, is I'll give you what you want, as long as you don't take me to your cross. See? And so when you start going to the cross every day, and it's not like a purposeful, I'm going to take you to the cross today, flesh. Today I crucify you. It's more than that. This is when your heart begins to grow to where you're actually living more for the will of God than for the will of your flesh. And you're dragging it to there, and it starts to fight you. And it starts to complain a little bit. You know, and it starts to bicker and say, no, you don't want to do that. We got a better way. I got a better way. You know, when you have problems and you come up with solutions in your soul, I remember one of my first experiences was I had all the answers. My soul gave me these answers, and it brought peace to me, like, okay, it's going to be okay. I'm following God, and sometimes your soul comes up with tries to grasp for something to hold on to for peace, you know. And in that 1 month, everything that my soul had that made it comfortable, God snipped. And then my soul was standing naked. My natural soul was standing naked with no hope, no signs of hope, no future, no nothing. There was no answer that my soul could come up with that would give it hope that I was going to make it. But there was one answer. I have a Father who loves me. And see, I could quote the scriptures about God loving me. I could quote scriptures about God as my Father. But the problem wasn't me believing him. The problem was me believing that he loved me that much. And that I was, I guess I say the word, worthy to follow him. I didn't see that. Because God doesn't promote you or lead you by the way that man does. God sees and uses things that man doesn't see. That's why when you see people God using, you're like, why would God use them? You know, I'm better than them. I know more scripture than they do. I've been more faithful to church. I've done all these things. Why would God use them and not me? You know, because God promotes for different reasons. Now, when I say promotion, please understand, I'm not saying about if you're up on the stage preaching now, let me teach you about why God promoted me and not you. It had nothing to do with that, because we're all called to different things. And we're at different places. Don't judge yourself. You have a Father who loves you and believes in you. And he is walking you down a path where you will face every weakness of your soul. Every weakness of your flesh. And you will have to mortify it. And it seems like it's the most horrible experience in the world, where all hope leaves and you're standing there. You've done everything you know to do and all hope has left. There's no answer. There's no future. It's because if you hold on to those things of your natural soul, if you allow those things to be there for you to be safe, the devil will always use that against you. But when you walk this fight out and you say, I am willing, Father, if it's your will to stay just like I am, just where I am, just doing what I'm doing, living how I'm living for the rest of my life, because I am in your hands. My steps are ordered of you. See, the devil will get onto your emotions and he'll strap in, like ride it like a horse, And when that crash comes, when that big thud comes, and all of a sudden you're at the bottom, you're doing everything right, like Job. You've been doing everything you know to do. And all of a sudden there's a war of your emotions. Am I preaching okay? This is a battle. This is an old-fashioned shootout, a battle of wills. On one side, you got your natural man's emotions, and he's loaded. He's got his gun. He spins it. And then there's a bullet. He puts in the bullet. You're passed. And then he puts in another bullet. Every time you prayed and God didn't answer. I mean, this thing, this war is so bad, it gets you to where you even question if there's a God. And you wonder, what the heck is wrong with me? I've been a preacher all these years, and now I'm questioning, is there God? It begins to question the path that you're on. See, the whole purpose of this fight is to make you stop and change course. See, that's the purpose. It's not that, you know, it's like, well, God's going to reward you. I don't care about rewards right now. God's going to reward you in heaven. I don't even know if there's a heaven. What am I doing? I'm wasting all these years. See, that's the lie. It tells you you've wasted all these years. Look at the people across the street. They're happy. Everything's nice in their home. What? They got a new car? I mean, your car, you just got strapped together with bale twine. And our car, we would drive our car. I remember, and the fan, something went wrong with one of the fans. I'm not a mechanic, so I kind of suffer through things, but I'm afraid to go to mechanics, especially if you don't have any money. And so we would drive our car, me and Christy, and I had Harrison in the back. We'd drive, and the engine would overheat. Now, when you drive, the air runs through the radiator and cools it down. But if you stop at a stoplight, the heat starts coming up. So we'd pull up every stoplight we'd stop at, the engine light would come up. I'm like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And I'd race out of there and try to get up speed to cool it down. And then I learned a trick. If you turn the heater on full blast and roll down your, you know, that pulls the air out. Yeah, Gary's amen. He's like, hey, brother, I know what you're talking about. And so me and my wife and my kid are sweating in our cars. I'm trying to keep it so I can just go, just so I can go across town, you know? Come on, come on. And then you hear all the people on a different path, and they're driving nice cars, and they're looking at you. What church do you go to? You're a faith guy? Well, buddy, let me tell you, all I did was I gave to this preacher. And do you know that God rewarded me back? And then you hear, I mean, your soul starts looking for all these answers. But when you get on this path, God's purpose is to have you. He's asking you and he's leading you. That's why you have to pray in tongues. I'm telling you, if you stop praying in tongues, you won't win this fight. Because as soon as you stop praying in tongues, you will give in. Remember the door number four? You know, God says, pick door number four. And you're so excited. Yes, I'm finally getting promoted. He's picked door number four. It's my ministry. I know it. Alan Taylor Ministries International, all over the world. You open the door and there's your natural soul sitting there. And he's got ninja mask on and some buddies. And they start beating you up. And you're fighting your way through that dark room. And you finally find the exit. You come out the other side and you're beat up and black and blue. And oh my Lord, what happened? And there's God smiling at you like, good job. And there's another set of doors. He says, take door number two. And you're like, why? And that's when the devil comes and says, okay, let's stop right here. And let's just stop right here, okay? And we can start a ministry to do this, and we can do that for God, and we could be nice, and God will love us. And it tries to get you to live an Old Testament saint's relationship with God. But see, the only way to know God as our Father is we have to get past the religion and we have to put our natural soul to the cross. See? Because it's lying to you. Your natural man does not know God as a Father. Religion lives in the natural flesh, thoughts, and mind because it understands God as God. That's why you can see religion all around. Why is there religion all around the world in this secular world? Why is there religion everywhere? I can understand a little bit here and there, but most of the world is religious in one way or another because their natural man, the flesh, before you're born again, knows God, can live through God in a sense in religion because you buy and you sell, you give and you take. There's reward and there's offer, you take and give. But this walk as a father is when you and I get to a place where we strip ourselves of who the world made us, of all of our ability to earn anything, to be justified in anything, and we're completely at the mercy of this trust that all I have is a Father, and He will take care of me. And so that's why we have to keep praying in tongues, because I know praying in tongues has got me through a few doors and a few beatings like it has you, and so your flesh, your emotions will negotiate and argue with you and offer you things. And finally, one day, after you go through like six doors or so, it sees another door come and it realizes, I can't stop this guy. I can't buy him off, because you can get bought. You know, if you have a price, the devil will pay it. You know, and so you start getting battle weary, and your emotions say, all right, the devil gets in and harnesses up to him and gets in the saddle of your natural emotions, and it pulls out its gun. It's got your past, you know. It's got the every time you pray, it didn't work. It's got being tired, you know, when the people misunderstood you. How many have been misunderstood? How many, a little bit about yourself, and people have take a little glimpse of something or a little something someone said, and they just painted you. Say, oh, that's you. Put that in there. I'm like, man, what's going on? And people abandon you. You got abandonment issues, you know, and all these things. And he's loaded. And there you are. You're standing, facing it. You know, I wish I could do that music. You know. And there's your emotions. And devil's on the horse of your emotions. And they're looking at you. He's got the gun. And there's little you standing against it. And you got no horse, you just got this little gun. And you wonder where God is, He's nowhere to be found. Because He's picked a fight for you. And what He's telling you when you're in the fight is that the only reason you're in the fight, I'm not preaching, you can't preach this to the general population, because they would justify everything. Yeah, it's God's will that I'm in this. And, you know, God meant this for good. No, but it works if you're in His will, if you're following His steps. And you get to this place, and you're in this fight, you're wondering, look, I've done this, I've done good, I've been faithful. Why am I going through this? It's because your soul is in the way of you knowing God as your Father. And the devil will always use it against you. If not today, he'll do it 20 years from now. He's trying to stop you today. So God's picked a fight to say, I'm going to pick a fight with you and your soul, and you're going to defeat it. And when you do, the devil will not be able to use that against you. So here you are, wondering, why am I being attacked? Because God sees your future. You don't, He does. So there you are, you got your little gun, you look at it, what do I use? You say, well, I use authority in the Word, but it didn't work. I use faithfulness, it didn't work. I gave extra money, it didn't work. And so you look, all your bullets are blank. And you look, and there's no hope for your future. There's no fight in you anymore. Have you been there where there's like, but then where do you go? You got nowhere to go. I've come this far, what's left? And you're stuck there, and you're facing down the natural emotions, and the devil sitting there with his loaded gun, with all the reasons and the logic, and they're good reasons too, justified of why God will not show up for you. Why you are wasting your time. You know, there's the bullet. All those other guys left. Maybe I am just the foolish one, you know. You ever see that show, Forrest Gump? You know, I hate bringing the movies, but it was, you know, Forrest Gump, and he decided to jog one day and just kept running and running, and he's running down the road, and he's got a couple hundred people following him. He's got a beard on. He's been running for years, and everyone's following him. And they're running down this road, and they've been following him, running all over the country. And they're all excited. They got a leader, and all of a sudden, he just stops in the middle of the road, turns around. There's all of the people following him, and he says, "I'm done." And he walks off. And you feel like that. I've been following God, and all of a sudden, he stops and says, "I'm done." What do you mean you're done? What am I supposed to do? And you feel alone, that fear of loneliness, that fear of abandonment. There's the devil loaded. Look at all the other people. They're not doing what you're doing. They left and they seem happy. Well, let me tell you something, especially with the world of Facebook. Everyone seems happy on Facebook. You know, do you ever put a picture up you didn't like? That's why you don't let other people put pictures up, because if you're smiling with four people and they have the picture, they'll make sure they look good, but they don't care about you. But when you're in charge, you only put the good stuff, right? How you doing today? I'm doing good. Very few people are very honest. You know, I'm miserable. You know, oh, that's nice. See you later. But don't look at anyone. You follow God. See, here's what happens. You get to that place where there's nothing left. There's no hope. You look at your bullets because you're facing what this is, an old-fashioned showdown between you and your emotions. And your emotions, the devil's riding your emotions. He's using every insecurity, every failed prayer, everything in your past to justify, to break you from obeying God. Because here you are, and here's all you have. You're standing there, and you're facing this thing down, and the music is going, and the dust is flying, and you pull out your gun, you go to load the bullets, and every bullet you fire in the past 6 months has shot blanks. Didn't work. One bullet you have that you know will work, it's his word is true. Everything else is a lie. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't seem like it, but you got to load that in there. The other bullet you have is the prophecies that he's spoken to you personally. You take that and say, I know what he said about me. I know what he said about my future. I don't feel it. It doesn't feel like me. It feels like a lie, but you got to load that in there. It's not because you want to. It's because there's no other choice. You have to, you and I have to go through a place when this attack comes that says, all I have nothing in me now, but I have his word. I have his promise to me. See, and you won't even believe that promise. You say, he's lying, but I have no other choice. You have to make yourself load that in there sometimes. Say, okay, I'll accept it. You have people around you who've gone before you. They're testimonies. You got to take those testimonies and stick that in there. Say, okay, Gary made it through it. So-and-so made it through it. I don't care. Listen, look at me. I don't care who makes it. I'm not here following men. There's only one person that I'm following, one voice that I'm following, that's the Father. That's why it's odd to me when people get uncomfortable and say, well, I don't agree with the pastor. I don't agree with how they do that. I don't like what they taught. And they make a decision. I'm not being fed. You know, I'm not, God hasn't lifted me to my ministry. I don't see it happening. And they skedaddle. And usually when people skedaddle, they try to drag a few people with them. It's always puzzled me. Because if God put you here, and not just here, wherever God put you, he knew what it would be like when he put you here. See, it's not your purpose to get control and say, okay, I think this will be a better route. I think this will be a better way. And that's in everything. That's in everyday life. Why are you trying to fix it instead of walk through it? Because when you start walking through stuff, you'll find out that there is a determination that rises up and says, all I have is him. And you can take what you want from me. You can hold your back from me. I talked a while back about authority. Authority's job is mostly to hold you back. That's my job in my son's life. My son is like a racehorse. He's always going. And it's like, no, I have to change now because he's getting calmer as he gets older. And my first answer to Harrison, Daddy, can I? No. I got to stop him first because if I don't stop him, he's going to go. And I'm like, okay, I got to quit being so negative with my son. I got to be like, what do you want? But the point of authority in life, people say, well, you know, the authority in my life, either your job or your marriage or the church or whoever, they're not letting me do my thing. That's authority's job. But no man has the power to stop God from promoting you. And so when you start fighting against man, what you're saying is, I don't trust God. I want to take care of it myself. And when you come to the big battle, you may never face the big battle. See, that's why those little battles you've been through that tried to get you off course and try to get you off track, try to get you away, and I'm just sharing here, like a pastor would share to you. I have friends all over the place, and I go visit them, some pastors, and they have 1,000 books. And every time I go, it's like, have you read this book? From this guy, have you heard of this guy? I'm like, no. I know Gary Carpenter and Dave Roberson. I know them. And you may think, well, you know, you're kind of limiting yourself. But I'm not in charge of where I am. Don't get me wrong. You can get a bunch of teachers and learn all kinds of things, but there's no trick to it. There's no special key in the scripture. There's no special thing. It's, are you going to grow into who God wants you to be and let that new nature teach you? Are you going to submit to that new nature and become who God's made you, or are you not? You know, Harrison wants to drive the car all the time. Daddy, because Grandma let him do it one time. So he wants to drive the car. Well, son, you can't drive my car. You know, not until, I do let him steer sometimes when we're driving on the road, but not until you're 16 and have a license. And that's what most Christians are stuck. They're like, I want to drive the car, God. No, well, maybe it's over here. Maybe this guy has a secret. Can I drive? No. And they pile up all these teachers. And because they have so many teachers, they get educated about things, but they stop growing. Growth comes when you stay put where God puts you. And you grow through everything to get you out of that place. Okay, I'm preaching now. I'm trying not. I need to stop. So the devil will have a lot of bullets to use against you. And they're good bullets. They're truthful bullets. If you've ever asked God to forgive you, how many have asked God to forgive you? How many made a mistake or even a public mistake in the past? You know, have you put it under the blood? Well, let me tell you something. If someone comes up to you and says, hey, I know you. You say, you better watch out, Bubba. That's under the blood. Now look at me when I'm telling you this. You say, you better watch out, Bubba. Say, Bubba, that's more intimidating. That's under the blood. No one's allowed to go under the blood. Not even the devil. Because that's not who I am anymore. So you take hold of who you are. You're not the person you used to be, even yesterday. We all make mistakes. Get past it. And if people can't get past it, you don't have to prove them anything or talk to them or let me show you. I'm so sorry. You just say, it's on the blood. It's done. I've changed. You better watch out. My father will get you. No. No. Pastor Dave would say, just love them. You know, I'd say, okay. But you better watch out. And all you got is your little bullets. Every other bullet you tried is blank. Everything you learned from reading books is blank. What's left? You have to hold, you got to load that bullet. His word is true, no matter what I feel like. You have to load that bullet. He told me this. See, when you're in there and you're swimming in that desperate place and there's no hope, there's no sign of anything, you don't need a sign right then. Understand, you don't need a voice here. I've been trying to hear God's voice. He won't tell me anything. God, give me a sign. I need a sign. Give me a direction. You're right where you're supposed to be. You're walking straight. All you have to do is get up every day and keep walking because you're in a battle of the will, an old-fashioned shootout, and your emotions are trying to break you, and they're trying to train you, and they're trying to make you submit. They're going to make you so miserable and uncomfortable and hateful and angry. Even your little kids will look at you like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. Just shut up. There's nothing left in there. And all you got, you have to go back to where he put you on course and say, he told me to go here. That's all I got. I can't change course because I'm not in charge. Amen. And if I have to go through hell the rest of my life because he put me on this course, and bless God, I ain't moving. And you are in a war with your emotion, the wills, and you have to make it submit. Your natural man will submit to your spiritual man, but you have to make it. See, that's mortification. So you take your bullets. You may only have two or three in there. He told me he put me on this course. He said in his word who I am. He prophesied to me. listen to those prophecies over and over. And I know when you get there, you don't want to do anything. You just say, I don't want to pray. It doesn't work. I don't want to confess the word. It doesn't work. It works. But your emotions and the devil's riding them, loaded with all the evidence you need to stop and give up on yourself. You don't believe in yourself. You believe that he believes in you. And you stay on the course he puts you on, and you don't change no matter what. And you will win. Because when you look to your future, you don't see anything. I remember one man prophesied to me one time from England. I was young, and he said, son, I look at you. And it was when I was going through something similar, smaller than when I got older, but similar thing, a fight of my will, obey God or chase my dreams. And he said, look in your future, and you see nothing. So there's nothing there in front of you, but you're still walking. And he said, I see your future. God showed me. And he gave me a prophecy about my future. So sometimes all you have is what other people said about you. You know, make sure it's the good stuff. The prophecies. See, you're not trying to give your soul a little, here, let me give you a little, here, soul, here, emotions, I'm going to give you a little something to keep you happy. You're trying to say, you don't tell me anymore who I am, or what I do. You're not my source of happiness, of joy, of peace. My source comes from him. It comes from my spirit man. You are no longer my source of my direction, my joy. I have one source, and it's my Father and who he made me. So you have to go back sometimes and say, okay, the only reason I'm here is because God put me on this course. Who am I to change course? All right. Got a few more minutes. I want to talk about Elihu. I love Elihu. So here, Elihu is a young guy. I'm just going to read a little bit. Is that all right? I won't take you too long. Elihu, after Job talks and finally his three friends get quiet, Elihu stands up. Then the wrath of Elihu. Now just imagine a young man, 20-something years old probably, the young, standing up with all these older gentlemen. He stands up. The wrath of Elihu, the son of Berchiel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Now Elihu had a belief kind of along the lines of, God's sovereign, he does what he wants, and we just have to put up with it. That's faith. Well, we have promises of God that we can stand. Doesn't matter how sick your fight is or how bad you feel or how much you get drug into poverty. The truth is God's word is truth, and you don't have to put up with any of those things. You were justified by Christ. So his wrath, verse 2. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Berachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also, against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now, because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Berachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dare not declare my opinion to you. Say opinion. I said, age should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. And I want to pause here for a minute. Because as we read through the air of these three men and Elihu, some of the things they say are right. So we don't disqualify everything they say, but we can't qualify anything they say as being from God. So some people have used the book of Job to qualify beliefs. We can't do that. Okay, we can't use the book of Job to qualify beliefs because some of the beliefs are spoken out of men who are in error. But it doesn't disqualify everything they say. Because how many know that great men are not always wise? So verse 10. Therefore I say, listen to me. I will also declare my opinion. Say opinion. You don't need anyone's opinion. Indeed, I waited for your words. I listened to your reasoning while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention to you, and surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words. Lest you say, we have found wisdom, God will vanquish him, not man. So he's saying, you keep fighting. Job's wrong. You got to keep fighting. We can't say that he's right. You have to keep fighting Job, he's saying. Now, he has not directed his words against me, so I will not answer him with your words. They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them. And I have waited because they did not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. So he waited, and the three men didn't rebuke Job. He thought Job needed to be rebuked. I'll answer my part. I too will declare my opinion. Say opinion. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter. Else my Maker would soon take me away. But please, Job, hear my speech and listen to my words. Now I open my mouth, my tongue speaks to my mouth, my words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am your spokesman before God. I have been formed out of clay. Surely no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing. So he says, Job, you have said this that I've heard, and I have heard the sound of your words saying. This is what he said. He heard Job say, I am pure without transgression. I am innocent, and there's no iniquity in me. Yet he finds occasion against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks, and he watches all my paths. How many have felt like that? I remember Pastor Dave talking one time how the devil's sitting there beating you up, and you look up, and God's just watching. It's because it's your fight. And you can win. Even if you don't feel, if you feel hopeless, it takes away your future, this fight. It takes away everything. It says, there's no hope. Just get up and keep walking every day. This is a battle of will, not of words. Look in this, you are not righteous, I'll answer you. For God is greater than man. This is Elihu talking. God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an account of any of his words. For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man while slumbering in their beds, then he opens their ears of man and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man and to keep back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed. It was strong pain in many of his bones. So he's saying, God's put this on you to teach you a lesson. So that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food, his flesh wastes away from sight and his bones stick out, which once were not seen. Yes, his soul draws near the pit and his life to the executioners. If there is a message from him, a mediator, one among a thousand to show man his uprightness, then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Let's go down to verse 31. Give ear, Job, listen to me. Hold your peace and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me, hold your peace, and I'll teach you wisdom. I'll finish just a little bit here. Elihu further answered and said, hear my words, you wise man. Give ear to me, and you have knowledge. For the ear tests words as the palate tastes food. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Should I lie concerning my right? My wound is incurable, though I am without transgression. What man is like Job who drinks scorn like water, who goes in company with the workers of iniquity, and walks with wicked man? For he has said, it profits man nothing that he should delight in God. Therefore, listen to me. You man of understanding, far be it from God to do wickedness and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his work and makes man to find the reward according to his way. I'll stop there. This is not a walk of give and take. It's not a reward system based on good works offering to God. Good works can be as dangerous or more dangerous than the bad works. But as you're going through this walk, if you feel all things have been stripped away, don't stop. Don't stop. It's not him. It's because he believes in you. He sees your future. And if you don't stop, you will get there. That's our goal. And don't judge where you are and what he has you doing and compare it to someone else. There's no one in this body that's more important than the next. And it's not a promotion. Listen, just because someone gets to go do something and you don't, that's not a promotion or a demotion. He's walking you specifically through your battle. And the same purpose for you is with me, as with someone else, with Pastor Dave, with Gary, with anyone else, is to get us to where we are in the high call of God. And we have stripped ourselves of our flesh's ability to stand before God and be justified. Amen? All right, you're released. We'll see you at 10. God bless you.